What?
Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. It is a Wednesday evening that I'm putting the service together, and I welcome those of you that's tuned in by the way of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock. And we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. I welcome those of you that's tuned in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Or those of you that's tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we are now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 11 o'clock. I welcome you. Those of you that's tuned in by the way of Sermon Cloud, and one of the ways to get to Sermon Cloud is through my website, which is PastorKenHarger.com. Scroll down till you see Messages from the Lighthouse. They can scroll on down the page and you see Sermon Cloud. Click on that Sermon Cloud and it takes you to my storage place where I have about 30 messages just waiting to be listened to. Also, I'm a public figure on Facebook. I do a devotion each day. And on the Saturday devotion, I always make a connection to the same place, Sermon Cloud, where you can listen to those messages at any time you so desire. Well, I need to say thank you to those that help us with the financial part of our broadcast. So a big thank you to Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran, and she lives in Dayton, Tennessee. A big thank you to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, from Greenville. And a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area and to Court Warner, Premium Truck and Auto, located east of Belding on M44. A thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting my music for this morning. And I always love to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. That is where I pastored for 50 years, been retired 10 years, and things are going along very well. Our time at Shiloh, the worship times at Shiloh, begin Saturday evening, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. Contemporary service takes place at 10:45. And in Greenville, we have our campus in Greenville at the old Lutheran Church, which is located on M91 North. And it's right up in there by McDonald's, and that service begins at 11 o'clock. So if you can join us for any one of those, you will sure be more than welcome, and we'd love that very much. Well, as I shared a message for today, we're talking about our prayer is to revive us again. God, we need to be revived. We need to have our mind renewed. We need something fresh from you. And we're going to talk about that this morning. And I know that that's a message that we need in all the different areas of our life. Sometimes we need it in our own individual life. Sometimes we need it in our spiritual life. Sometimes we need it in the idea between our relationships and a marriage or a family. We need to rekindle the mind again, and we need to rethink some of the things that's are taking place in our everyday life. And so I will address that this morning in just a few moments. But before we do, I want us to get started by a song, and I'm hoping my songs will play this morning the way that they should. And this song is entitled, I Don't Know Why Jesus Loves Me So Much. I don't know what is behind all of that, excepting for the fact of that great love that he has for me. So let's listen in. Just trust the Lord that we'll have the song and be able to speak to our own hearts in a very special way. Here we go.
I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. Sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be if Jesus didn't care? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He
left his mighty throne in glory to bring to us redemption's story.
Then he died, but he rose again just for you and me.
Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad, so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory to bring to us redemption's story.
Then he died, but he rose again just for you and me.
Oh, but I'm glad.
You know that I'm glad.
Oh, but I'm glad.
Yes, I'm glad.
Oh, but I'm glad. So glad he did. So glad he did.
And oh, I'm so glad too. I'm so glad that he did what he did for each one of us in a very special way. He loves us. And we probably aren't able to figure out why does he love us? Love us that much. It's kind of all wrapped up in John 3:16, you know. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That's that little teeny word of God so loved. He loved us so much. And that's why he was willing to allow his Son to go through what he did in order to give us salvation. We just need to bow and pause and thank him. So let's pray. Take a moment and have a little prayer. Father, thank you that once again we can come into your presence. I thank you so much that your ear is always open unto our cry. It doesn't matter the circumstances of our life, the conditions of what we're going through, that we can call out to you, and you remind us that we can cast all of our care upon you, because you do care for each one of us. So, Father, I know you care for the listening audience. So once again this morning, I'd like to remember the listening audience. I don't know what all's been going on in their life this past week, but Father, you do, and I appreciate that so much. So Father, those that need special encouragement, I pray you'd give them that encouragement this morning. If you see fit even to use this message to give some encouragement. Those, Father, that are going through the grieving process because this past week or two they've laid to rest one of their loved ones, I pray for their special comfort this morning. I thank you that you are the God of all comfort, and you're able to reach out to them. Father, I want to pray for those that's maybe having family problems, marriage problems, just difficulties in relationships, that you would be pleased to give them the wisdom and knowledge to know how to handle the things that are happening in their life. I want to pray for those that's going through some financial disaster. I ask your special blessing to be upon them, and you would provide what they stand in need of. And Father, we just thank you for your love and your special care. So I pray for each person, those that's up in years and they just maybe are very lonely and discouraged this morning. I ask your hand of blessing to be upon the older aged ones and just minister to them in a very special way. You are the kind of God that can do that for us, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of what we're going through as an individual. So thank you for your love and for your care. Speak to our hearts now through your word. Cause us to realize what it means to be revived. We're talking about revived again. That gives me the idea, Father, that there's been a time maybe when things have been a little better than it is right now. And maybe some of that has to do to some of the things that we can help ourselves with. So I pray you would lead us and direct us this morning. I pray in that wonderful name of Jesus, and for his sake, with thanksgiving in my heart before you and what you've done for each one of us. And I pray all of these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. I like to think of a prayer to revive us again. Last week we talked about Nehemiah in the rebuilding of the walls around the city of Jerusalem and all the things that they went through in order to complete the job that needed to be done. But in the process of the rebuilding of the walls, they also were at work together in rebuilding their lives, their own personal lives, their lives as a nation, their lives as a city. It was going on while they was doing that work together. God was at work in them, bringing about the good results that was so necessary. And Father, we just know that the Father wants to do that to help us. And I think it's so beautiful, the things that he did for them and through them. And we talked about the idea that God's done it before and he can do it again. You know, this week has been Labor Day weekend, and I like this here. Lord, I've heard the news about you. Lord, I'm amazed at the powerful things you have done. Do great things again in our time. Make those things happen again in our day. Even when your anger, even in your anger, remember to be gentle to us. That's from Habakkuk. I don't read that book very often, but that's Habakkuk 3:2. Lord, I've heard about the good news. We heard last week about the good news of the building of the walls of Nehemiah's day of the city of Jerusalem. And we were amazed at the powerful things that they was able to get done. The other nations, as they looked upon them, they were concerned because they said God has been doing that with them. And God is at work within them. You know, there's a desire in my heart to see God do some things in our lives, to see him bring about some things in our generation. And so we're saying, God, do it again. God, do it again. Revive us. Rebuild our lives in a very special way. We know you probably have a right, Father, to be angry with us, but in your anger, remember to be gentle with us. We're all in the process of trying to figure out how we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to do for you. So with those thoughts in mind, we're just asking the God to do it again. What he accomplished in the days of Nehemiah, can he accomplish in our lives? Because we've heard about that, and we like to see that happen in our own individual life. You know what, though? If a revival's going to take place, it has to start with my life. It has to start in my heart. It has to start in my family. It has to start in my community. It has to start in my church. Lord, begin bringing about a revival is our prayer. So you know what we're talking about this morning is this idea of reviving our life in such a way that we can understand God's goodness and blessing upon us. So revive us again, God. Even though you might be disappointed in maybe what the way we've been doing in the past. Maybe you're disappointed in the way we've been thinking in the past. But God, would you this morning begin with gentleness in each one of our lives? That gentleness can lead us to a place that can bring about the things that are so much better for each and every one of us to be able to have. And that's something that I want to see happen in my life, and I trust that's something that you want to see happen in your life as well. So let's begin this morning, this idea of reviving. We need a revival, Lord, again, because you know what? We've become weary in well-doing. It's very easy to become weary in well-doing. Whatever you do in the normal humday times of your life, sometimes just because it's the same old, sometimes we become weary. And sometimes whatever the load is that you carry, you're beginning to carry that load and it's been carrying it for such a long time. It's kind of like pain. If we have a headache and it goes away in 1 hour, 2 hours or whatever, that's one thing. But when we got constant pain, it brings about weariness in our soul and in our body and in every aspect of our life. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, 9, he said, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. Listen to this next thought now. If we don't give up. Note, if we don't give up. You know what I've noticed in lifetime? Sometimes so many people gave up just about the time there's going to turn a corner. We don't want to do that. We want God to revive us. We want God to help us not to become weary in well-doing. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says something along that same line. It's a challenge to the encouragement that God wants to give to us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding. That's a powerful word, abounding in the work of the Lord. Why should you do that? Why should you keep on keeping on, knowing that your labor is not in vain or empty or useless in the Lord? It's going to pay off. There's going to be a harvest. Harvests don't come in 15 days or 30 days. It takes time for a harvest to come. They soon will be harvesting such fields as cornfields and soybeans and white beans and red beans and so on. We can see that it's in the dying process right now, and soon it will be harvest time. In order to keep on keeping on, we need to hear God say to us, don't become weary in this well-doing and be steadfast, because you know that your labor is not in vain. That's what you have to come to. You have to come to that knowledge. And if that knowledge is beginning to get kind of depleted a little bit, that's why we need a revival. That's why we need our hearts revived, our minds revived, to say, you know what? I know it's tough, but you know, whatever I do, whatever labor and hard work I do in the Lord, it is never in vain. I like this next thought. God does not, there's never no wasted time in what you spend doing God's work. A harvest will come. I love the way Jesus taught his disciples after he had an encounter with the woman at the well. They had that had caused her to believe that Jesus was the Christ that was to come into the world. And Jesus had ministered to her. In the meantime, the disciples had gone into town, the town of Samaria, to get food. And they went in to get food, and they brought some food back. They said to Jesus, come on, eat some food. You must be very hungry. It's been a long day. And you know, Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know not of. You don't know about it. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one brought him some food out here to eat. Jesus said to them, listen to this now, folks. My food, the energy for my life, is to do the will of him that sent me, and to complete the work that he sent me to do. You know what, disciples, he says? You say, 4 months more and then comes the harvest. But Jesus said, but I tell you, look around you and see now that the fields are ripe unto harvest. God said, don't give up, because there's going to be a harvest in the book of Galatians. And here Jesus says, it's harvest time. It will be in just a few weeks. We'll begin to see them picking the corn. We'll begin to see them harvesting the beans and the soybeans. And we'll realize, hey, it's not 4 months from now. Somehow that harvest time has snuck up on us. And you know, we need a revival in our mind, in our thinking, that we have to quit procrastinating, because right now is the harvest time. Right now's the time you and I should be busy for the kingdom of God in whatever we're doing. I believe Jesus is saying to them that the fields, spiritually part of our life, the spiritual part of our life is food that comes when we get involved in the idea of harvesting. It'd be like Jesus said to the disciples, you know, you went into the marketplace and you picked up food that is for the body. But do you realize when you're in the marketplace, you need to keep watch to see those that you can help as well, to understand their spiritual need of God? And you know, he had just done that to that woman at the well. He had just caused her to see that she had a spiritual need in her life. And you know what happened? That woman that came to draw water, she left her water pots and she headed to the town. And when she got into the town, she told everybody about Jesus. She told them, "Come and see a man that's told me everything that he's done. This truly must be the Son of God. He's teaching them the harvest is right now. Do not say there's 4 months. But right now, every day of our life, there's people that need to learn of Jesus. Just like Jesus was doing with that woman at the well. In her everyday humdrum life, she was coming to draw water. But when Jesus gave her the idea of who he was and that he was the Messiah, when she understood that and believed in him, the idea of getting water was unimportant. The idea was it's harvest time, and God had just harvested her life from the things that was causing the difficulty in her life in such a way that she didn't know about it. And you know what? There's a lesson there for you and I. And the lesson, I believe, is an important lesson for us to get a hold of if we want to bring about some revival into our hearts. Now, I'm not knocking the disciples. They were hungry. They knew Jesus was hungry. They were headed into town to get food, and that was what was on their mind. It was to get groceries. And God wants us to be aware that even when we're getting groceries, there can be opportunity for you and I to serve him in another person's life, just like this woman at the well did. The woman left her water box, and she went into town, and she said, "Come see a man that's told me everything that I've ever did. Can he be the Christ? I think he must be." And all the town people were coming to him. They were on their way out to see Jesus. Now she came to get water, and after talking to Jesus, she left the water pots and went into town and started speaking to people about Jesus, talking to them about what he did. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. They were beginning to respond to him just because the woman had told him, "He told me everything that I've ever did." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days. And you know what happened? Many more people believed in his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you have said to us that we believe. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world, the Christ that was supposed to come into the world." And after 2 days, Jesus departed for Galilee. That whole story is in the book of John, chapter 4. I love what Jesus was teaching his disciples, that we all have a part in the harvest of souls. But here's what it takes, folks. First, he tells them to lift up their eyes and see that the field is white unto harvest right now. Already some of the reapers are receiving their wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. He's saying it's harvest time now. Don't say you got 3 months or 4 months or whatever. Second thing we can learn is that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Jesus is reminding them, you know what? As you walk through planet Earth, you're going to reap some harvest that somebody else has got started before you. They did the sowing of the seed, and you're just reaping the harvest. But as you go through life, you should make sure you're sowing the seed. And I think that's what he's trying to tell the disciples. You went into town and you picked up food, and that's wonderful. But you brought no people back with you. But the woman that realized that he was the Christ when she went into town, she brought back the whole city with her. And some people believe just because of what she had said. He's reminding us that she was a seed sower also. She was sowing seed into the hearts of the people of the city of Samaria. And she was reaping a harvest because later on it tells us that when they listened to Jesus talk himself, they said, "You know what? We first believed because of you. But you know what? Now we believe because we've heard him for ourselves. We know that it is true. He is the one that was supposed to come." So we have to ask ourselves, in view of what is said here, this part of the story, do you realize in your life, each one of us are harvesting that which we never had no part in the planting of, the sowing of the seed. We're just harvesting what somebody else has done the work for, and that's wonderful. But we just can't be a taker. We got to be one that's sowing seed for somebody else to receive the harvest for. That's what God is trying to remind us. And if you don't have that kind of thinking in your mind today, we need a revival. We need a revival of our thinking to remind ourselves. I am to be harvesting that which I am a part of because somebody else has sown the seed. But at the same time, as I go through my life, I should be sowing seed that somebody else will harvest the crop. That's the way it's supposed to be carried on. That's the way God's plan is. I harvested things at Shiloh Community Church. You know why? Because the pastor before me was faithful in staying there for 12 years. He kept the doors open. The doors at Shiloh Community Church had been closed and open and closed and open. And when that man came, his name was Fred Meter. And when he came, he stayed there 12 years, drove every Sunday out from Grand Rapids to do the service for a small group of people, 15, 20 people at the most. But he was faithful to do that. When I came on the scene, I harvested what he had sown, that the church was there to stay. And when I came, I was there to stay. And as a result of that, we got the beautiful campus that we got there in Shiloh and 400 people or so attending the worship services. And that's pretty special. But you see, I harvest what he's sown. And then I sown the seed, and now our pastor is harvesting from what I have sown. That's the way it is. That's the way it's supposed to be in each one of our lives. You know what the beautiful thing of all this is? I came across this statement. It said, it's that moment of belief. That's the beautiful, the most beautiful thing. That woman saw the moment of belief in those people's hearts and minds in the city of Samaria. The disciples got groceries, but they missed seeing the moment of belief. They seen it when Jesus started talking, when the whole city came out. I personally believe in my own heart that when Jesus said, look unto the fields, for they're right white already unto harvest, I believe about that time that large group of people were coming from the city. And Jesus says, there's the harvest field. It is ready. And when Jesus started sharing, it showed that it was ready. You know why it showed that it was ready? Because many more people believed. And we got to get a hold of that. If you've kind of let that slip from your mind, I say we need a revival of heart. We need a revival of our mind to say, you know what? God has a plan. The plan involves me, but the plan involves the people of the past. And the plan involves the people of the future. I am carrying to my part of life. That's why he's saying to us, don't become weary in do well-doing. Don't become weary in the work you're doing for the Lord. Because you know what? He can bring about blessings. He can bring about great joy. He can bring about great happiness as somebody believes. And no matter what we go through in our life, no matter what others go through in their life, God has promised us a beautiful thing. And it's a song that I want us to listen to as I take a little break. God's going to give us beauty for ashes. That's what he promises. He'll give us beauty for the ashes of our life. You know what the ashes of our life is? It's the disasters of our life. The things that we've gone through that's been very difficult. And God says, you know what I can do? I can take those difficulties of your life and I can turn them into a blessing. I can turn them into things of beauty. I can show you what can happen as you remain faithful to me. Do not become weary in well-doing. Let's listen to this song.
He gave me beauty.
didn't share about that woman of the well. You know, her life was a mess when Jesus met her. And you know what he did for her was gave her beauty for ashes. And she went into the city and she shared her testimony of faith in this one Jesus. And he gave other people in that city beauty for ashes. But you know, she was coming there to get water. But her mind had been renewed. She was probably coming there to get water because she had to come when maybe the rest of the women wasn't there because she had been living with a man and she'd been married 5 times. So she is probably a disgrace to the community. And yet that's who God used. As he got into her heart and life, her life was a mess. But God gave her beauty for the ashes of her life, and her mind was renewed. I love the idea that sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to reconsider our thinking. She was thinking of just getting water, but all of a sudden she's thinking to go tell the whole city, I've met the one that's the Messiah, the one that is to come, come and see him. It must be him. He's told me everything that I've ever done. And her focus now was on the act of her Christian life, upon the thinking. You know, I came across this statement many years ago in a study that I had at Shiloh. If you want to act like a Christian, you got to start thinking like a Christian. Do you realize actions come as a result of your thinking? Even to lift your hand, you have to think about that. The hand has no ability to do within itself. The mind tells the hand to do that. And we need to realize that God is reminding us that he wants us to understand that sometimes our mind needs to be renewed. Sometimes we've gone back to some of that thinking that's got us in trouble in the past. I love one of the statements that AA makes. They say, that's stinking thinking. If you're thinking you're going to take just one drink, that stinking thinking is going to get you into trouble. Listen to what God says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So, brothers, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him. Your offering must be only for God and to please God. This is your spiritual way that you should worship. Do not change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but change within by a new way of thinking, a new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to decide what God wants for you, and you'll be able to know what is good and pleasing to God and what is complete or perfect. He's saying, you know what, we need a revival in our everyday living. We'll come when we check out our everyday thinking with what is shared in these two verses of Scripture. I'm offering my life to God as a living sacrifice. I'm doing this for what is pleasing to God. Is my thinking becoming more like the world's way of thinking? Or is my thinking becoming more like God's way of thinking and doing the things God's ways? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Because then you'll know your mind needs to be renewed. It's very easy for us to become lackadaisy in our thinking. And the thinking, the lackadaisiness of thinking is going to lead to lackadaisiness of actions. But when you have good thinking after God, and when you have thinking that has the mind of God in it, it's going to produce something in your life that will not be produced in any other way. The same truth is shared in Ephesians 4:22-24. When the people were being reminded to they needed a revival in their thinking, when they went back to their old ways, that, however, is not the way life that you have learned when you heard about Christ. And we were taught in him according to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to the former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitfulness in desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. That's why we need a revival. Every now and then we just let the mind kind of coast. It needs to be renewed in the attitude of your mind. And to put on this new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. He said, you know what? You start thinking like the world. and you start producing what the world produces. And what that is something that is not that's going to bring blessing, but rather it brings discouragement because it's deceitful desires. But if you want to please God and bring about righteousness and bring about holiness out of your life, you know what he's saying? You got to have the thinking of God. You've got to be renewed. And I love the way it's described in the attitude of your mind. What's the attitude of your mind this morning? What's the attitude that is operating in your life day by day? Is it because of God and his thoughts in your life? Or is it that you've just kind of been coasting about the spiritual part of your life? And you know what? Now you're thinking more just like any normal human being would think. And God wants us to understand that he's got something better than that for us. He's got something much more powerful that for us. I found a picture that says the power, it shows a picture of a head, and it says the power of a renewed mind. When our thinking is right, our actions is going to be right. If our thinking is wrong, our actions is going to be wrong. If you want to think like a Christian, you want to act like a Christian, you've got to think like a Christian. The question is, how are you facing life today? Are you facing life in your own understanding? That's one of the things that I like about my life verse. Don't lean on your own understanding. Right now in your life, are you leaning on your own understanding? Maybe it's because somebody's mistreated you. Maybe it's because things haven't turned out the way that you think they should. Somebody quoted for you that all things work together for the good of them that love God, and you've just had a miserable way of living. There's been one thing happening after another, and I can't explain that. But God is saying, you know what? I want you to present yourself to me a living sacrifice. You know, in the Old Testament, the sacrifices were always killed. But God's saying, I want you to present yourself a living sacrifice. I want your mind to be thinking. You know one of the verses that I like about that? He said, he will keep us in perfect peace whose ever mind is fastened on God. Is your mind fastened on God? Or have you allowed the thinking of the world to come into your thinking process? A revival will come when we pause and we check our thinking. We check what's controlling my mind. And you know what God is saying to us? You haven't been taught to let your mind be in control. You've been taught to put the thinking of God into control. And God's thoughts in your life can renew your mind. And sometimes we need that renewal in our mind to cause us to become that person that we know God wants us to become. And he wants us to do it in a way that would bring honor and glory to him. And in so doing, as a result, it will be the best way you could possibly live. Our prayer to God, revive us again, Lord. Revive my thinking. Revive what I've done in my life. Revive what I'm doing in my life. That's another thought that I'd like to add to this avenue of renewal. Sometimes you know what happens to us? We forget that God has given us an assignment. I believe God has given us, each and every one of us, an assignment, something to do for him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11, there were those saying that they were of the person that led them to Christ. It was in the early church, and some of the people had been led to Christ by a man by the name of Apollos. Others had been led to Christ by the name of Paul. And you know, Paul is saying to the church, it's not the person that led you to Jesus. He was just either sowing the seed, or remember, harvesting the crop that somebody else had sowed the seed for. That's the way it works. And I love the way Paul said this. I love the way he tried to correct their wrong thinking and give them some renewal in your life. We're simply God's servant, he said. That's who Paul is. That's who I am as Paul, and Apollos is the same. We're simply God's servants by whom you were led to believe, just like the woman at the well was simply a servant of God that helped other people to believe. Each one of us are to be that way in our life. Each one of us does the work which the Lord gave him to do. Now listen to what he says. It's going back to what we've been talking about. I planted the seed, and Apollos watered the plant. But it was God who made the plant grow. Man, isn't that simple for us to understand? Paul said, I planted some seed. Apollos came along and he watered the seed. But you know what? Neither one of us could make it grow. God made it to grow. The one who plants and the one who waters really does not matter. It is God who matters because he makes the plant to grow. It wasn't what that woman at the well did. It was what God was doing through her testimony. He's told me everything that he did. And then it is even shown later as they came out and sat with Jesus, they said to the woman at the well, they said to her, we believed when we first heard about you, but now we've heard him for ourselves, and we believe because of listening to him. The one who plants and the one who waters really doesn't matter, but it's God that matters because he makes the plant to go. Listen to what he says. There's no difference between the one who plants and the one who waters. God will reward each one according to the work he has done. He's saying, rather you're planting or watering or harvesting, God's going to give the reward. And then this is what how he explains it. We are partners working together for God and with God. Listen to what he says next. We are God's field. God's planted in us so we can plant in others. We also are God's building. And we're supposed to use the gift that God gave me, he said. I did a work of an expert builder and I laid the foundation. Someone else comes along and builds upon the foundation that is there. But each one of us must be careful how we build. There's the key. How you're building. Are you still sowing seed? Are you still watering? Are you still harvesting? Or have your mind kind of just give that up for a little while? For God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. But we're building on that foundation. 2018, we're building on that foundation. And we need to realize that's a beautiful thing for our life. You know, one of the things that I like about that, talking about the past and the present and the future. We lived in our house, I don't remember how many years, maybe we lived there about 25 years perhaps. And one day I said to my wife, Bev, I said, I want to build a wraparound porch on three sides of our house. And you know, I went out and started measuring, thinking, how far do I want to build this wraparound porch? And I was out front and I was using my measuring stick and a real shiny car and an older gentleman got out of the car. He walked over by me and he said, son, what you gonna do? You see, you're measuring. I said, I'm thinking about building a porch on all three sides of my house. A wraparound porch. He said, you know, I can remember when there was a wraparound porch on that house. And I thought, that can't be possible. But that's what he said. And you know, I continued to dig as the time came to be doing the building work. And guess what? I ran into the old foundation. The mount that I had measured out to add on for the porch was the same mount that the old foundation was there. And most of the way, not all the way, but most of the way, I just built on that old foundation. Listen, the foundation's been laid. We don't have to lay the foundation. God's already done that through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to realize that we need revival in our thinking to remind ourselves we're God's building. And we got to be very, very careful how we build on the foundation that has been laid. And my prayer to God is revive my thinking to be reminded that I am God's field. And I'm the seed that can be planted in God's field and it can be watered, but God will make it grow. And the one and only foundation is Jesus Christ himself. We are a part of a thing that is bigger than every one of us. Let me just share one more thought before we have our closing song. Revive us again, Lord. You know what we got to do about this revival is there are divisions of our life, past, present, future. I love the mindset that God gave to the Apostle Paul as he shared in Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14. The idea was to continue towards your goal, whatever the goal of your life is. Keep on towards that. Paul says, I do not mean that I have already got as God wants me to be. I'm not the way God wants me to be. I have not yet reached that goal, but I continue trying to reach it and to make it mine. Christ wants me to do that. That is the reason Christ made me his. He wants me to move forward. Brothers, I know that I have not yet reached the goal, but there is one thing I always do. I forget the things that are past, and I try as hard as I can to reach the goal that is before me. I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize. And you know what the prize is, he says? Because God's called me through Christ to life up above. God's called me to eternal life. And I want to do what I can do on planet Earth to show that I believe in what God has called me to. We can think of it in this way. Forget the past. Reach for the high calling of God in the present. Press towards the future prize that God has waiting for each and every one of us. We need a revival in our heart when we think that we've already are what God wants us to be. When we think we've already reached God's potential in our life. You know, God has no unfinished projects, but you know what? He isn't finished with you and I yet. He who began a good work will finish it. But it's not finished yet. He wants us to realize that he's got a goal for our life, and he wants us not to stop trying to reach out and to reach ahead in our life to receive that goal that he has for us. I love the way he said that. That's why Christ reached out forward to me. He wants me to go forward. That's his desire. That's the reason he made me his. He didn't want my life to be just come to a certain place and stay there. Now, in closing, I don't mind telling you, at age 83, I want to do as Paul said he was going to do. But there is one thing I always do. I forget things that are past. I believe that is good for us to forget what is past. Yesterday ended last night. Today begins the rest of your life. Let me say that again. Yesterday ended last night. Today begins the rest of your life. That's what God's trying to teach us. Today begins the rest of your life. I like to forget the past, especially that part of the past that wants to make me camp back there in disaster, in ashes. I want to forget that. I want to glance into the past and see those things that's been moving me forward to the future. I want to try as hard as I can to reach the goal that is before me. To me, that means to do whatever best I can do and do the very best that I can do in whatever I do. I can do better than I need to work at doing better. We need to add some things to make it do better. But the last step to this revival is that the best is yet to come because the prize is ahead of us. The end of the Christian life is that God has called me through Christ to have life from above, that gift of eternal life, that blessing of, yes, there is life after death. I came across this challenge. It says, let you such live in such a way that those who may know you, those that know you, may not know your God. But will come to know you, God, come to know your God, because they know you. Your life, he's saying, can bring a blessing to other people's lives. And that's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to have happen in our life. You know what this revival is all about? It's about the idea that God wants us to draw closer to him than we've ever been before. So as I close, I ask myself, but at the same time, I ask you, are you closer to God now than you were last year, or are you further away from God? Now, I've got to remind you, folks, which is a good reminder, God hasn't moved. Sometimes we move, but God hasn't moved. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what he says about his son, Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If there's been a change in your life, and you've gone backward from something that you've had better in your life, then that's a reminder to each one of us. We need a revival, God. And my prayer has to become, revive my heart, revive my thinking, revive my attitude, revive whatever needs reviving so I can be that person that you want me to be, so you can accomplish that which you want to accomplish in my life. I got a song I want us to listen to, and this song for closing is just the idea of a whistler. And you know, this has become a lost art, whistling. And this is a song about whistling, but he's whistling this, just a closer walk with Jesus. And as we get a little further into the song, a voice is going to come and say, just a closer walk with Jesus. That's what I want for you. That's what God wants for you. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you.